to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, July 14, 2021. More non-governmental organizations are attacked in Tonch East County.
So far, there is no fighting since yesterday up to now. So people are calm. But the casualties, on Saturday, there was 5 people from Tonch North were killed and 9 people from Tonch East were killed.
And a South Sudanese writer documents experiences of women during the country's crisis.
She got so exhausted that she had to meet literally her creator in the most unfortunate and in the most unforgettable way. That maybe there's no formula to how we die, maybe, but at least there should be decency as to when we experience our last breath.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The U.S. mission in South Sudan is expressing concern about intercommunal fighting between communities in Tonch East and Tonch North counties. Authorities in Warrap State say several people were killed and others were injured in continued intercommunal violence between two communities. State officials say hundreds of people have fled their homes and are hiding in the bush. For VOA News, William Sande Mabor reports from Rumbek.
In a statement issued yesterday, the U.S. Embassy in South Sudan condemned the looting of U.S. government-funded food and nutrition commodities during the intercommunal violence in neighboring counties of Warrap State. The U.S. Embassy urged the South Sudan government to, quote, investigate and persecute in full accordance with the rule of law and South Sudan's international human rights obligations, perpetrators of the violence and criminal looting of assistance, end quote. State authorities say the violence erupted last Thursday when unidentified young men stole cattle from Wanjang area in Tonch East County and escaped in the direction of Marialo village in Tonch North County. They say the young men from Wanjang tried to pursue the raiders but fell into the ambush. The cattle raid touched off days of violence that continued through Monday when armed young men burned down nearly all the huts in Marialo village, along with the Marialo Market, the local hospital, and the girls' boarding school, according to the state officials. Authorities say people who were shot during the fighting have nowhere to go for medical treatment because the only hospital in the area was looted and the health workers fled for safety. Warrap State Information Minister Ring Deng Ading says a day after the violence started, officials sent Tonch North County Commissioner Kuala Khon and Tonch North County Executive Director Ayom Makir home from Warrap, where they were attending a meeting. Ading says security forces were also dispatched to the area to protect the villagers and their property.
So far, there is no fighting since yesterday up to now. So people are calm. But the casualties, on Saturday, there was 5 people from Tonch North were killed and 9 people from Tonch East were killed.
South Sudan in Focus could not independently verify the number of casualties. Deng says Warrap State Governor Aleu Ayanya Aleu plans to visit Tonch North and Tonch East counties to talk to investigators and figure out what led to the week of violence. Deng assured local citizens that the suspects will be arrested and charged in a court of law. He also called on the aid agencies to provide emergency assistance to the displaced, who he says have spent more than 4 days hiding in the bush.
So I would like to pass my message to all humanitarians to intervene to help those people who are displaced, to give them shelters, food and medicine. Because Marialo was the main hospital in Greater Basel, but now since the people are destroyed.
The U.S. Embassy statement notes the area is already facing what it calls catastrophic levels of food insecurity, and says it now will have even less food assistance available, potentially leading to loss of life. Marialo Hospital Administrator Martin Kual accused gunmen from Luanjang community of Tonch East County of looting medicine and equipment from the health facility.
We are left with nothing. In my office, for example, they have beaten up all the computers, the printers, and everything in the house. In the villages, in the houses, everything is looted. And actually, when they overwhelmed the youth, they were left to loot everything and no one asked to rescue the situation. As I'm speaking to you, the warehouse is empty. WFP warehouse, there is no single grain, all has been taken.
Qual says the armed youth looted food and mattresses from the Komboni Girls Boarding Primary School. He said Tuesday that Toi North residents fear the armed youth from Luanjang community will return and carry out a revenge attack.
When I came this morning, I had to wait for a few armed youth to escort us, me and the only doctor who is left behind, Dr. Lual Madao, to actually assess whether we can get some few medicine. Because when they heard that the hospital administrator ran to the village with one of the doctors, we were told they came at the border. I'm talking to you, we are being surrounded by armed youth for the fear that there can be any attack.
Tony East County Commissioner John Dencock denies any armed men from his area looted a hospital or burned huts in Marialo. Cook says Toi North authorities are exaggerating the level of violence that took place over the last 6 days.
The only looting of vehicles and the warehouse outside, the hospital, the main hospital, now and the market. The looting happened, but this is uncontrolled because always when they fight, they have to carry on that. The owners from Marialo, all the houses were burned by the bullet. They went on revenge to burn other houses. Yesterday at night, they burned 3 villages in Toi East. They burned a place called Mayongjai. Also burned Todogwer.
Armed young men from Toi North and Toi East counties have repeatedly clashed with each other over the past year, killing dozens of people. In December last year, 7 people were killed and several others injured during several days of intercommunal clashes in Toi North County. In August, witnesses said at least 80 people were killed and more than 90 others were injured in clashes involving soldiers and civilians in Toi East County when South Sudan troops began disarming civilians. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur, reporting in Rumbek, Lagos State.
Civil servants in South Sudan's capital, Juba, say the government's decision to increase their salaries by 100% in the 2021-2022 budget will not change their lives. President Salva Kiir said during his 10th independence anniversary speech that the government will allocate incomes from thousands of barrels of crude oil to civil servants' salaries. For VOA News, Onan Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
Mabor Tur, an employee of the Education Ministry, says he appreciates President Salva Kiir's offer, but his salary is so low that even if it is increased by 100%, it wouldn't be enough to pay for food and other basic needs of his extended family of 25 children and dependents.
My salary is 4,000. I don't know how am I surviving with my family. But it's very difficult sometimes when you get 4,000. Sometimes we don't reach home with money. If you buy for yourself lunch or water, then there's no money. All we do is we don't eat lunch. What we do, we only drink water. And when you reach home, sometimes you give them to your family or sometimes you don't give them because they are not so enough. It's very difficult to explain how much really one of us expends the salary or the 4,000 that I'm earning in a month.
Tur says, given the skyrocketing prices of commodities, the government should determine new salary structures for civil servants. James Chol, another civil servant, says the salary increase will not change his life. He says senior government officials in the grade 7 salary scale receive a monthly salary of 3,000 South Sudanese pounds. He says that amount is not even enough to pay school fees alone. Chol says schools across the country from kindergarten to high school charge fees ranging from 75,000 to 100,000 South Sudanese pounds per term, more than 25 times his salary.
If the increment is going to be 100%, which might be 6,000, I still say that nothing will come from that. The ground is still for battling. We are still servants. We may say that that thing may not actually make something for us. At least if we were earlier paid 30,000 each, actually that is the middle class, and then the top management, that is actually accounting officers, will have been actually something like 75 or 60. Then when 100% said by the excellency will have topped up to 100, and the middle class will have reached to 60 or 70. This thing may actually save the civil servants.
Joel says he and his wife sell charcoal to supplement his monthly salary of 3,600 South Sudanese pounds so they are able to provide food for the family. Joel says his extended family often eats only one meal a day. He is urging the government to immediately reduce market prices. Ambassador Sidonia A. Osman, Director General for International Cooperation in South Sudan's Foreign Ministry, says she welcomes the government's decision to increase civil servants' salaries. Osman did not disclose how much she earns, but says her monthly salary is enough to cover for the needs of her family of seven.
We use it wisely because we have to plan. You know, the people who doesn't plan is up to them, but for us, we plan our food on a daily basis until the end of the month. We plan our electricity, we plan our water, we plan everything inside that salary. And that one, it is enough because I am working. My husband is working too.
Last week, President Kiri directed an ad hoc committee in his cabinet to work with the Ministry of Trade and other government agencies to look into the problem of high commodity prices in the market as the dollar continues to lose value against the local currency. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
Still in Juba, some South Sudanese women have documented their war-related experiences into poems and short stories published in a book entitled No Time to Mourn. The women say they are sharing their stories because they want South Sudanese to learn from their past and focus on building a peaceful country. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Nyakoda Juak Mundit, one of the authors who wrote a story called Here, Chickens Are Not Vegetarians, says on December 21st, 2013, she and other relatives fled Juba for the Upper Nile State capital Malakal after a war broke out in the capital Juba between soldiers allied to President Salva Kiir and those allied to his deputy Riek Machar. Mundit says within 2 days, the fighting spread to Malakal town, at which time the group sought shelter at UN peacekeepers' compound. Mundit says on the way to the compound, she saw several bodies on the ground while chickens and dogs were eating them. Mundit says she saw an elderly woman who was so exhausted that she could barely walk and later fell down and died in front of her.
She got so exhausted that she had to meet literally her creator in the most unfortunate and in the most unforgettable way. That maybe there's no formula to how we die, maybe, but at least there should be decency as to when we experience our last breath. So that experience of that old lady, I can't say I'm well, because I'm hurt. I'm in pain. I can say more or less traumatized in terms of how do you handle such a heavy burden.
Mundit says she is traumatized by the memory of the elderly woman because she couldn't do much to rescue her since everyone was running for safety. Mundit says she cannot imagine what happened to the old woman's body after the group she was in continued on with their journey.
Somehow you have to find an anonymous level of strength. You see, because I was equally tired, you know, I was equally exhausted, I was equally frustrated. All that stuff happened, but I still found time to sit around this old lady, hoping her family would come back, see? And I didn't cry when I was with her, funny how. So you see, that was because there was no time to actually shed a tear. Because there was no time to mourn, there was no time to feel, you know. But now I can cry when I talk about this because I now have the time to say, oh my God, what happened was actually sad.
Lulu Kidin, who wrote a poem entitled Pure Cotton, which talks about a ceasefire, says during the war, whenever a group won a battle, they would often fire gunshots into the air as a form of celebration. Something she says instills fear in civilians who do not know what is happening. She says the stray bullets from celebratory gunfire could also randomly kill people. Kiden says she wrote the poem Pure Cotton because people often talk about a cessation of hostilities, but the warring parties continue to fight each other anyway.
Writing this for me is to say, hey, what's the point of saying we have ceased fire or we are ceasing to be hostile, and yet people are still experiencing the consequences of gunshots, of criminals owning guns. The gun is something that holds a lot of power. But in South Sudan, most of the people holding guns do not know the kind of power they hold, and they are misusing it. They're using it to instill fear, to rob people of their rights, to kill them, and yet this is something that's supposed to help just protect us. So my hope is that a real ceasing of fire will happen.
Dominic Kangu is the media relations officer at Oxfam South Sudan, which funded the book. Kangu says Oxfam found it important to bring women together to tell the stories because in a patriarchal setting like South Sudan, women are often not given voices in the community.
Oxfam is trying to showcase that women can lead. Women can be role models. Women have a voice. Women contribute equally to the development of a country. But although some people don't see that way. So, but at Oxfam, we believe that together, men and women, girls and boys, can form a better society. Because if we only empower boys and we don't empower girls, we are still doing injustice to our community.
Kangu says there are a lot of stories that go undocumented, while the few that are told are often written by foreigners, something that he says needs to change so that South Sudanese are able to tell their own stories. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, how accessible is internet in Africa? Find out more after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What is the best advice you have ever gotten?
I got an advice from my mom. She encouraged me to work hard. That she told me a very successful woman is a very hardworking woman.
The great one I can remember is the one my father gave to me to study hard. Actually, he was on his, I can say, maybe a deathbed. He was so ill. He had stroke and he was so helpless. He couldn't do anything for me. That was the last day I even saw him. He was like, my son, study hard.
Is from my father. He has always told me that I shouldn't be afraid to learn new things and to take up new challenges, because he said that you're only afraid to take up new challenges when you haven't tried it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A report by a non-profit group says Africa needs to increase internet access to boost its economy, especially in the wake of COVID-19 pandemic. The advocacy group found that while Africa's locally routed online traffic has increased, only one in five Africans has internet access. High taxes and frequent internet shutdowns by some African governments have also discouraged online trade, as Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
The Internet Society Group says in a report this month, Africa's Internet Exchange Points, or IXPs, have increased from 19 to 46 in under 8 years. Six countries have more than one IXP. An IXP is where multiple networks and service providers exchange internet traffic. The increase is significant because a decade ago, most African countries routed their online traffic outside the continent. Dawit Bekele is the Africa Regional Vice President for the Internet Society a global non-profit organization that promotes the development and use of the Internet. He says Africa having its own ISPs improves Internet performance for users on the continent.
By developing Internet exchange points within Africa, we have limited this kind of unnecessary travel of the Internet traffic outside of Africa to come back to Africa, which has considerable advantage in improving the user experience, be it with the speed of connectivity or even the cost of connectivity.
The Washington-based group says its goal is to eventually have 80% of Internet traffic in Africa be exchanged locally. Michael Nyi Tejeka, an information technology expert, says public demand has forced African governments to improve Internet access.
We can't run away from the youth population. There are quite a number of young people, and therefore their affinity or drive for technology and use of Internet is way higher than, let's say, our parents, and they would find it, they're more comfortable using technology than anything else. Finally, the other aspect that I think is quite critical is the access to technology, mobile devices is definitely a big driver. We see quite a number of relatively cheap, smart or internet-enabled phones in our market. And that has had a massive effect on how many people can access the internet.
In a 2020 study, the International Foundation Corporation said internet users could add $180 billion to Africa's economies. However, some governments have taken steps to control digital communication by shutting down social media platforms and imposing a high tax on internet use. Omoniyi Kolande is a CEO of Cerebit, a Nigerian company that offers payment processing services to businesses. He says that government control of the internet will drive businesses backward.
It has been a way where we'll be driven backward instead of moving forward, right? We are supposed to actually encourage access. We're supposed to encourage collaboration and free access for interactions, for solutions, right? Because if businesses are to put their product on platform, right, as long as those platforms are being put down or disconnected, right, I think there's some loss of revenue at that point, right? And for payment gateway, we're already losing revenue as far as those businesses does not exist to achieve just the purpose of what they should achieve.
The United Nations Economic Commission for Africa notes that only 20% of the continent's population has access to the internet. The Internet Society Group is urging African governments to expand internet infrastructure to rural areas where most of the population lives so that they can benefit from it. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
7 COVID-19 vaccines have received green light from the World Health Organization so far. And as new variant of the coronavirus evolve, questions arise about how well each vaccine works. It can get confusing, but as Steve Baragona reports, when it comes to keeping people out of the hospital and the grave, any shot will help.
With the Delta variant surging, reports show even some vaccinated people are getting infected with the COVID-19 virus. But those infections are mostly mild. All the vaccines are still working by the most important measure, experts say.
They're very effective in doing what we want them to do, which is protect people from serious illness and death.
A rash of infections in Israel raised concerns recently that some vaccines are weaker against the Delta variant. But Powderly tells VOA the shots are preventing the worst cases, as a surge in his home state of Missouri is showing.
They are seeing infections just like the Israelis saw in people who are vaccinated, but they're not seeing anybody coming into the hospital. All of their hospitalizations and unfortunately all of their deaths are in people who have not been vaccinated.
Some of the shots are better than others at priming the immune system. The mRNA vaccines from Moderna and Pfizer generally seem to produce the most antibodies, followed by the viral vector vaccines, Johnson & Johnson, the Oxford University AstraZeneca vaccine, and Russia's Sputnik V. the inactivated virus vaccines from China's Sinovac and Sinopharm are on the lower end of the scale. All of them produce enough antibodies to fight the original strain, but antibody levels start to matter more against the variants, experts say.
Maybe with the slightly less powerful vaccines, which aren't inducing quite such a strong immune response, the Delta agent is starting to break through, still maintaining some protection against the more severe end of disease. But, you know, it's clearly a sort of sliding scale now.
And the Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, J&J, and Sputnik V vaccines all seem to be better than Sinopharm and Sinovac at activating the body's second line of defense, called T cells.
A backup immune response, like a T-cell response, are going to provide better protection against diverse variants, viral variants, than an inactivated vaccine that only induces antibodies.
Still, Fuller says, the Sinopharm and Sinovac shots are much like the annual flu shot. Not perfect, but better than nothing, despite the complaints she hears every year.
I hear somebody gets a vaccine, they say, well, I'm never going to take it again because I got sick anyway. And my response is always this, is that, you know what, you would have been a lot sicker potentially in the hospital if you hadn't gotten the vaccine.
And she says all the shots help slow the spread of the virus, which means fewer chances for dangerous variants to evolve. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
That's all we prepared for you today. We now leave you with the song Lo So. We have been listening to the song entitled Lo So. I'm John Tanza, working very much. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm a son.